Well, that's a joyous passage, hey? It is. There's a chunk of it that's really quite wonderful. Jeremiah was a prophet who was sent by God with messages to Israel, messages which he received directly from the Lord. The messages had to do with God's judgment on his people, the judgment that they were going to receive because of their sin, and about restoration as well, that was going to come later on after they were suffering their judgment. Throughout the book, a very bleak and horrible picture of Israel is painted, but at the same time, God's amazing character is seen. His holiness, his goodness, his love, kindness, justice, patience, mercy, power, his sovereignty over everything. That's all seen in his relationship with his people. And in chapter 17, the first six verses explain how Judah's sin in worshiping other gods and judgment they will be receiving because of that. That's what those first verses go through. The verses I want to focus on this morning are verses 5 through 8. There we find two objects, so to speak, which people give their trust to. One is people, verses 5 to 6, trust put in, given to people. And the other is God, verse 7 to 8, trust put in, given to God. Now, even though the specific situation of chapter 17 that it addresses, it's not given, what was characteristic of Israel was to put their trust in people instead of God. They would put their trust into political alliances made with other countries like Egypt and with Babylon for their safety and their peace and their security and their rescue when they came into trouble. The absence of mentioning the situation chapter 17 is written to suggests that these words are to be applied to all of life, not just certain circumstances, but the overall approach to life, a worldview of trusting people or God. Which is it going to be? So verses 5 to 8, they bring up those two objects of faith, or objects in which people put their trust in, and it also contains the results of giving one's trust to each of those objects. So we're going to look at those two things, but let's pray before we begin. Father, we are people that put our trust in ourselves and people in you. And Lord, we have tons and tons of things that we need to put our trust in in you or in people, because things are all constantly going on. Lord, we want to do it the right way. We want to put our trust in you. And we need for you to reveal to us what we've been doing. We need you to reveal to us who you are and to correct us and encourage us in putting our trust in you. So, Father, I pray for that this morning, that each one of us would be listening intently to your word, to be thinking about this, and that you would change us. You would change us so that we'd be trusting in you more and more and more. So come glorify yourself in that way, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The first object people give their trust to is people. People very quickly put their faith in people. We see this throughout Israel's history, where they were prone to trust in those political alliances, trust in Egypt, trust in Babylon to rescue them from their trouble. And we see ourselves in Israel doing the same thing. We place our trust, we put our confidence in people for all kinds of reasons and in all kinds of situations. When we drive down the road, we trust the other drivers to stay on their side of the road. When we do our banking, we trust the teller to accurately do what we want. When we go to rides, on rides at amusement parks, we trust the operators to check and make sure the rides are safe. When we buy food in a restaurant, we trust the cooks are living up to the food safety codes and that the health inspector is honest and does spot-on inspections. You know, we trust the pharmacist to give us the right drugs in the right amount of drugs. So in all kinds of ways, we trust people. And that trust comes in two ways, two forms of trust. First is our trust is placed in a person's abilities. And number two, our trust is placed in who that person is. We see this in verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. It says man twice in this verse, but in Hebrew, these are two different words. One is used in reference to an individual, and the other is used in reference to humanity. So cursed is the individual who trusts in humanity, whose trust is in humanity. Their approach to life, their worldview is trusting people. The idea here is when something comes up, when there is a situation or just going through life in general, this type of trust looks to the ability of people as the answer. This trust believes in someone's physical or mental or financial power as the rescuer, as the answer. When the boys' soccer team was stuck in a cave in Thailand back in June, a team of experts from around the world assembled, and people were trusting in that team, in the scuba diving experts, the weather and cave experts. People were trusting in the experts' abilities, their expertise, to get those boys out of there. If you are going in for a surgery, you talk with the surgeon. You find out that she has done this surgery many times, and so you put your trust in the ability of that surgeon. That's what this is about. So the first way trust is given is by trusting in a person's ability. The second way trust in people is given is when our trust is the person. This is seen in verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Makes flesh his strength. Or as some other translations put it, who draws strength from mere flesh, or who rely on human strength. This is about the flesh, a person being the strength. Relying on a person. A person holds one's trust. A human is one's strength, one's trust, one's hope and confidence in a situation or life in general. That trust is a person. So who a person is, that is one's trust. That is making flesh our strength. So that person is my strength. They are my hope. My trust is them. So the boys' soccer team in the cave, people trusted that team of experts, divers, cavers, tide readers. Their hope and trust were those experts. Their confidence for the rescue of those boys were those experts. Their strength, their reliance, their trust, their hope were those experts. If you are going to have a life and death surgery, you investigate surgeons with the best reputation and you find the one. That's the guy I want. That guy holds my trust because of who he is. He's the top in his field. I'm going to be fine because that guy is my doctor. If you've ever been on some kind of a tour, be it a tour in another country or a tour out in the wilderness on the island, and you had a tour guide, a leader, you had confidence that all would be well, all would be fine because of the leader. That leader has your trust. Your trust is that leader to keep you safe while you're on this tour. So the first object of trust is people, and we trust in their abilities and make them our trust because of who they are. The second object mentioned in Jeremiah 17 that people give their trust to is the Lord. And here too, that trust comes in two ways. Number one, trust placed in God's abilities. And number two, trust placed in who God is. So his abilities and who he is. We see this in verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. So when something comes up, when there is a situation, or just living ordinary life, this type of trust looks not to the ability of people as the answer, but to the Lord. This trust believes God has the ability to make something happen, that he has the wisdom and the power and the capacity and competence for any situation. This is an overall approach to life, a worldview of trusting God's ability. The boys' soccer team in the cave. This trust would not be in scuba divers' abilities to get those boys out of there. It would be in the Lord, who would do something in some way to get them out of there. This is based on his abilities. God knows everything. He can do anything. He is everywhere. He knows the best plan using the right people at the right time. His expertise is incomparable. It knows no limits. If one is going to have a surgery, this trust is in the one who has the ability to give life and take life. The ability to know exactly what needs to be done and when, and if it's even necessary. This is trusting in God because he knows exactly what is going on in all the lives of everyone working around that surgery table. And he has the ability to direct them and to hold them back. The Lord's ability. The Lord has the ability to flood the earth, to stop rivers, to make water come out of a rock, to deliver food in the desert, to create a nation, to destroy a nation, to take care of the consequences sin deserves, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. No one has those abilities but the Lord. That's what this is about, trusting in his abilities. So that's the first way trusting the Lord is given, is by trusting in his ability. The second way trust in the Lord is given is when the Lord is our trust. This is seen in the last part of verse 7. Blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. The object of hope, of trust, of confidence is the Lord. The very person, the very character, the being of God himself is one's trust. This is about who he is. God is my strength. He is my hope. My trust is the Lord. So those boys in the cave, God is the creator. God created the caves. God created the body, the mind, the tides, the rains. He created all of it, and all of it is subject to him. He is sovereign over all of it. Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17 says of God the Son, Jesus Christ, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is God over everything. He created everything, and he sustains everything as long as he wants to sustain it. Acts 17, verse 24 to 26 says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place. So God is the creator and owner of everything, and he has no needs, but he actually supplies needs like life itself, and he has determined the length of everybody's life. That's God. Acts 17, verse 28 is so glaringly true. In him we live and move and have our being. Everyone, our lives are dependent on the sovereign Lord. Whether you worship him and acknowledge it or not, he is God. He is in control. We are all dependent on him. The Lord himself is to be our trust. He is the sovereign Lord. Therefore, he totally embodies trust. There is no other to trust. If you're going to have a life or death surgery, you trust the Lord because of who he is. You don't trust the surgeon. You trust the one who created the surgeon. You trust the one who provided the wisdom to learn and fix things on the body. You trust the Lord. You know, forget the tour guide illustration. This is about living life with God as your trust, because he is sovereign over everything. Nothing is outside of his control. And he is holy and just, and he is your heavenly Father who loves you. That's who he is. So we give our trust to God by way of trusting in his abilities and by making him our trust because of who he is. And there are results mentioned, results coming from trusting people and trusting God in verses 6 and verse 8. Placing your trust in the abilities and in people and who they are is cursed. Why is it cursed? Because it is turning away from God and turning to humans in life as the rescuers, as the answer, which they are not. That kind of trust is dead. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't grow. It doesn't get nourished. It's a shrub in the desert. It's being in a wasteland with roots that cannot reach the water deep in the ground. No improvement possible. No good coming about. Trusting in humanity is full of worry and full of doubt. Trials come, droughts come, difficulties come. And humans don't have the power to alleviate the trouble or to keep life going in a healthy, fulfilling way. Trusting in people is searching and scrambling for rescue and for assurance from this person to that person in this circumstance and in that circumstance. And they can't do it. They can't do it. That's being under the delusion that people have power. But it's not power and ability that people came up with. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Whatever gift in whatever form received from a person originated from God, he's the source. The person is a conduit. They are not the answer or the rescuer. You know, we look to our country or other countries and think governments are the answer. But listen to these passages. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that God have been instituted by him. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. God set up the governing system, not people. It's God's idea, and it's God's authority behind them. And throughout the Old Testament, we see God putting a king in place, putting up with that king, and then taking out that king. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of God. He turns it where he will. Who does that? God does that. With who? With any leader and any person. Why in the world would we put our trust in a person instead of the sovereign Lord? Do you see the foolishness there? Trusting in the Lord, when the Lord is our trust, That is the blessed life. There is the place of confidence and reassurance and courage. No fear in any circumstance. Like a firmly planted tree near an abundance of water, fruitfully growing, growth will happen. Flourishing, restfulness, peace, patience. No matter if there is heat or a famine or trial or pain, God is the nourishment because God is in control, because God is sovereign and God's the one to trust. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the circumstance or the context of our lives. God is God. He is our trust, and he will see us through right into eternity. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Putting trust in humans is cursed. It's crazy. Trusting in God is blessed. It's a flourishing, rich life in the Lord. So is it wrong to trust people altogether? Is that what I'm saying? Trust no one, be suspicious of everyone? But shouldn't I trust my spouse to be faithful to our marriage covenant? Shouldn't I trust our elders to shepherd our church family? Shouldn't I trust the police, fire, and ambulance to come and help when I'm in an emergency? Shouldn't I trust my closest friends to keep confidential the sins I confess to them? Yes. But Scripture never puts trusting people in front of trusting God. The Bible never speaks positively of people becoming our trust. Trusting in people is never to be primary. Our primary trust is not to be in the ability of our spouses to keep our marriage covenant, but rather trusting God that he will keep myself and my spouse in our marriage covenant through his ongoing grace in our lives. Does that make sense? We're trusting in him to work in my life, into Dixie's life, so that together we are keeping our marriage covenant, and that trust rests solely in him. It's a primary, overarching trust in God for all things. That's where my attention is to go. You are to trust the elders, 911 responders, friends, surgeons, but not as your primary trust holders. You don't trust in their abilities or who they are. Your trust, first and foremost, is in God's abilities and who he is. He created all of it. You belong to him. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 gives one good reason why we don't give our trust to people. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Does anybody have water? I'm losing it. Trust that Dixie. Trust that Dixie will always have water. I trust in the Lord for water, and then Dixie supplies it. That's how this is working. Okay. He created all, we trust in him. Here's why, one good reason why we don't give our trust to people. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. This is not very flattering. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, we're all imperfect sinners. We're repentant saints, right? We've been covered by the blood of Jesus, we are saved, and we sin, but we are repentant. We are being changed by the Holy Spirit because we need it. We are fallible. We are often selfish, can't see clearly. We are weak no matter how loving and nice we might be. We trust God for his right and perfect will to be done. And that's the overarching trust for everything that goes on in our lives, in the world. We trust in the Lord's overarching sovereignty over everything. That's what the Apostle Paul did. He got into all kinds of situations. He trusted God to establish the Galatian church. He didn't trust Peter. Peter turned out to hurt some of the things the Galatian church was doing, what was going on there, by how he played favorites to the Jews. But Paul put his trust in the overall sovereignty of the Lord, and so he could weather a storm like the one Peter started at the church in Galatia. This is worship, purposefully, intentionally living with my primary trust in the Lord for everything, all of life. This is living for the Lord, trusting Him. He is my trust. That is my approach to all of life. This isn't about trying to trust God just when I'm really in need, like when I'm sick or something scary happens. This is about approaching all of life, all of thinking, based on who God is and what He is able to do. He is the sovereign God. He is our Heavenly Father who loves us. Living this way requires you and I to think this through. Got to think this whole thing through and work it out in every area of your life. Do you trust yourself? Do you trust people? Or is God your trust for salvation, growth in Christ-likeness, your family, your work, your health, your friends, our church, everything? Is God your trust? Trusting the Lord will require times when you will have to take action steps in your trust in the Lord, and other times you don't do anything but wait. That takes learning and thinking and being purposeful about trusting the Lord. Make God your trust, make Him your primary trust, and people secondary. Just like your hope for all things is in God, make your trust for all things God. And if you have trouble trusting Him, you will find a correlation between how much time you spend in God's Word, getting to know Him, and your trust. It works kind of like this. If I introduce you to a financial planner and I say, hey, give this guy all your retirement money and let him invest it, you'll get a great return. You're not going to do it. What you'll do is research the guy, find reliable sources, documented proof of what he's done. You'll search out who he is and what he has done and what he can do. And if the info you get is positive, you'll jump in with trust in his abilities and who he is. The more you get to know your Heavenly Father from the Bible as he has revealed himself to be, the more your trust in him will grow. So, church, we all have things going on in our lives. All of us do. Even, you know, when we look around, we go, oh, that person's got such a smooth life. No. We've all got stuff going on in our lives. And we got stuff going on as a church. We have great things going on. We have challenging things going on. Where do we put our trust? You know, when we look at an elder like Ralph leaving our church and what he has brought to us these past 8 years, how are we going to keep going when we don't have such a strong pillar like him as an elder? Well, guess what? We don't put our trust in Ralph. Our trust is not in him. Our trust is in the Lord, that the Lord will bring another godly man to be on our eldership team. Our trust is in him. Ralph moving away hurts, but it doesn't wipe out our church. If God calls me home or calls me to a different church, that doesn't mean our church gets wiped out. Our trust is in the Lord. It's not in Edgar. Edgar is fallible. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to make you upset. He's going to do things that you don't like that he does. He's going to wear shirts and say things inappropriately and all this stuff. I'm going to disappoint you. But your trust isn't in me. Your Trust is in the Lord, that the Lord is going to guide me in the right direction. When the Lord calls me home, he's going to bring someone else. Our trust is in the Lord, not in people. Listen to this passage one more time. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. Thus says the Lord, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we want to be that tree. We want to be that green tree that gets water from that stream, that's not anxious. The heat comes, the drought comes, we're not anxious, we're courageous because of who you are, and we are found in you. Lord, we want that. We want to grow more and more in that. And we need you to do that growth in us, Lord. Even our willingness to want it comes from you. Even the action steps that we take to growing our trust in you, that still has to be empowered by you. We are dependent on you, Lord. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for being so good to us over and over again. You have shown your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And we forget or we turn away. Forgive us for that. Thank you. Thank you for how you love us, how you sustain us, how you grow us, how you open our eyes more and more to who you are and who we are in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our trust in you because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that we are saved in Christ. And now we can put our trust in you. You are our trust. Praise you, Lord. You are the only God. You are the only Lord, and you are our heavenly Father. So our trust is in you and will continue to be in you. Come, Lord, change us, glorify yourself. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.